We open with hymn number 7. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we beseech thee so to guide and direct us by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not exalt ourselves, but humbly fear thee, with our whole hearts hear and keep thy word, and hallow the Lord's day, that we also may be hallowed by thy word. Help us first to place our hope and confidence in thy Son, Jesus Christ, who alone is our righteousness and Redeemer. And then, so to amend and better our lives in accordance with thy word, that we may avoid all offenses, and finally obtain eternal salvation through thy grace in Christ, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this 17th Sunday after Trinity is found in the 25th chapter of Proverbs, verses 6 through 13. Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great, for it is better that he say to you, "Come up here," than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince, whom your eyes have seen. Do not go hastily to court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your cause with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. Like the cold of snow in time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 4th chapter of Ephesians, the 1st through the 6th verse. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Here ends the epistle lesson. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Hallelujah. For this day is found in the 14th chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 11th verse. Now it happened, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" But they kept silent. And he took him, and healed him, and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him, And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, and so that when he who had invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. And then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 292.
Keep us in thy word.
Grace be unto you, and peace in God our Father, and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, in the 4th chapter of Hebrews, the 9th through the 16th verse. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here ends our lesson. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Christ Jesus our Savior, as summer leads into autumn, one form of work gives way to another. For farmers, it is harvest time. For the retail industry, it is the Christmas season. For all of us, it is time to prepare for the cold months of winter. And then when winter arrives, we find the cold hard work of keeping roads, driveways, and sidewalks clean, windshields scraped of frost and ice, cars running, water pipes flowing. When winter is ended, there is spring cleaning, crops to plant, roads to repair. There is really no season of rest to be found. Rest in this world comes only in brief spurts, with more hard labor, certain to follow in its heels. For Christians, there is another kind of labor that makes all of our earthly toil seem like a nice distraction, or perhaps even a relief. We labor against our own sinful flesh, against the devil and against the world, all of which are working against us, impeding us, doing their best to separate us from God, to indulge our appetites, to live for ourselves alone, and to abandon our faith in Christ. We may have a respite from earthly work when we can lay aside our labors for a time to take a breather. After the work week comes the weekend. Eventually the sidewalks are clean and the harvest is gathered. New crops are planted. Tasks are completed. But for our spiritual labors, such rest never seems to come. When can you say that your flesh no longer tempts you, and the world no longer entices you? When does your anger finally end, and your pride become silent, and your lust cease to rise up? Even when we can pause from our earthly labors, our spirits find no such rest. They are constantly engaged in the battle for our eternal salvation. The battle is not the one where our salvation is won. For Christ, our dear Lord, has already won that battle for us by himself alone. No, for us the battle is where our salvation is lost. We fight every day against a threefold enemy who tries to steal from us the precious gifts which Jesus has so freely given to us by his suffering, death, and resurrection. Therefore, Jesus warns us in Matthew 26 to watch and pray without ceasing until the very day when the Son of Man returns, lest we fall away and be caught unawares on that day. And likewise, St. Peter warns us in 1 Peter 5:8 to be sober and vigilant, because the devil never sleeps. He is looking for every opportunity to devour us, that is, to catch us off guard and to lead us into any sin he can, and then into impenitence or despair, and then finally into unbelief. Rest seems ever so far away, but it is not. There remains a rest for the people of God when their labors come to an end, when there is no longer any need to watch or struggle against temptation, to be on guard against false doctrine or anything that might lead us into temptation. It is the Sabbath rest, and he who enters this rest finds that his labor is at an end, even as God's labor ended when he had finished creating the world. You are the people of God. You are the elect children whom he has chosen to enter into that Sabbath rest with him. I know you are such people, because I know that God has baptized you into Jesus, into his death and resurrection. And therefore the promise of this rest belongs to you. He wants you to enter that rest that is waiting for you. And for that reason, he wants you to remain diligent to enter that rest, because if he himself has prepared it for you, it would be dreadful if you were to fall away and leave behind such a wonderful inheritance, just like most of the Jews fell away in their disobedience to God. They abandoned God's promises. They abandoned his word. They disobeyed his commandments, and finally they were lost. Of course, this brings us to an important question. If they were God's chosen people, why did they fall? And how can you hope to avoid their fate? Those who fall because they cease to be God's people. And they cease to be his people because they refuse to hear his voice. It is that simple. God has a voice. He never stops speaking. And unlike the thoughts that pop into our minds or the feelings that rise up in our hearts, God's voice is very easy to find. It is very clear, and it is unmistakable. He speaks with his word. He never leaves us in doubt as to what is his word and what is human fancy. And as trite as men might think it today, and as simple-minded as it may sound, his word is the Bible. For God, who in times past spoke by the prophets, in these last days has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ, and we know that the Bible is the word of Jesus because Jesus has told us so. Jesus told us that the Bible, the Old and the New Testaments, is God's own voice. And why should we believe Jesus? Because Jesus is the Son of God. And we know that he is the Son of God not only because he says so, but because he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. Those are his credentials. He is the man who died and rose again and dwells in glory, ruling over all creation. And because he is not a dead God, but a living God, his voice is a living voice, and therefore his word is a living word. It is not just ink on paper. It is not just vibrations that strike our eardrums through the air. He is in and with his word. And his word has power. And wherever it is heard, do not underestimate his voice. Hear it, and by its power, enter your rest. What help is there in this word? Much indeed. It has much to say about our striving, our struggle, and all the various ways that we can be led astray. And because it is a powerful word, it does not just sit there and wait for us to apply it to ourselves. It is active. It's like a sword that pierces you through to your very core. You do not so much search it and understand it as it searches you out and shows you what lies beneath. And God's word is relentless. It leaves no part of your life untouched or unrevealed. And this is very important, because if God was a distant God, If his word was just a set of moral principles for you to pick apart and apply to yourself, who is to say that you will apply it properly? What if you miss something? What if you neglect some part of your soul, your body, or your spirit? Some sinful longing that you no longer even remember or consider to be sin. That thought, that idea, that false teaching, that rebellion could grow like yeast in a loaf until it takes over your mind and heart. And just like so many of the Jews who once were God's people but fell away, you too might fall away and be lost and not enter your rest. But God's word does not work that way. It is a living sword. You do not pick it up and apply it to yourself. It applies itself to you and it pierces you deeply. As you hear it, it strikes down every fancy of your heart, every deceitful thought, every temptation from Satan. It knows your thoughts and your emotions and your motives, even when you do not know them. It is so clear, so effective, that it can cut to the root of your essential nature as a person, down so deep that it can even divide between your soul, which is your thoughts and senses and emotions and life force, and your spirit, which is the source of your soul, that immortal, ever-living essence of your being, which God alone can regenerate by the power of his spirit, even when you yourself are incapable of telling the difference. All of this means that there is nothing that you can hide from his word. Everything is laid bare before him. Nothing is hidden. His word will accuse you of every sin, reveal every fault, convict you of every error you might hold, and it doesn't fail. You can understand then why so many have turned away from God's word. Because it is truly relentless in the manner in which it reveals all your secrets, even those which you hide from yourself. And that is why his own people turned away. But it is just this piercing examination that you need. For those ugly things which God's word reveals in your body, soul, and spirit are the very parts of yourself which will draw you back into unbelief, so that you are no longer one of God's people. And yet, consider this. Whether you hear his word or not, even if you turn away, God sees all things even so. It is the peculiar nature of his word that it shows you the very things which God always sees, and on the last day his word will still judge you. If you turn away from this truth, your whole life is still laid bare before God, and in the end, you still must give account to him. If you do not submit to the piercing judgments of his word on this day, God himself will judge you in your death. When the sword has pierced through and done its work, what will you do? For to know your sins, your evil thoughts, and your debt to God does not solve your problems any more than watching a house burn down puts out the fire. What shall you say on the day when you must give account to God? You will not be able to answer him, and therefore, do not try. Instead, let someone else answer for you. For you have an advocate, a mediator, a great high priest who will stand in your place on that day. He is Jesus, the Son of God. It is his word that pierced you through, and now it will be his word, his voice, that gives an answer to God's accusations against your sins. In fact, on that day, he will speak with his voice, and he will show that you have sinned no longer. On that day, hear his voice. For he not only pierces you with the sword, he invites you to come boldly to his throne of grace. He will help you now, in the time of your need, and he will speak on your behalf. He has already passed through the heavens, and he stands before God even now. He is speaking for you already, and he is giving an account to God of your life. And do you know what he says? He tells the Father that you are no sinner. You are holy. You are pure and clean. You are righteous. He is a high priest after all. And your high priest has made you clean by his own blood. He knows your weaknesses here because he experienced them himself. He understands what it means to be tempted because he was tempted beyond the limits of human endurance, and yet he did not sin. Therefore, do not be afraid when his word pierces you through. In your great need, run to Jesus, to his throne of grace, where you will find mercy and grace to help in your time of need. Hear his other word, which does not pierce you, but soothes you and comforts you and speaks peace into your heart. He is saying, even now, I forgive all your sins. And for every error and lie which you once believed, he teaches you the truth. When your toil seems endless, he assures you of the rest that he has prepared for you when all your earthly struggles and temptations will cease. He has already made you his own in your baptism. This pardoning word is the help which he continues to give to you today. And the sacrament of his body and blood is the gift which he continues to offer you. His grace to help in your time of need. And with these gifts you need not fear. You need never doubt or despair. Only believe that by this your rest awaits you. For Jesus has made it certain and sure by his own sacrifice. Here with his comforting word and his precious sacraments, you shall have a moment of rest for your soul. And you shall also have a foretaste of the eternal Sabbath, which he has prepared for you when all your earthly labors will cease. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray.
O God and Father, loving creator of all things in heaven and earth, who rules and sustains them all, and who grants death or life according to thy holy judgments, we bow in prayer before thee and offer unto thee our common supplication. Give us, for the sake of thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, pardon for all our sins, and deliverance from the just reward of our transgression. Rescue us in every temptation, whether it proceeds from the world, the flesh, or the devil. And since We cannot, by our own reason or strength, walk worthily of our calling, nor bear the name of Christ in honor, nor obey thy commandments faithfully. Pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us, that we may more and more be conformed to thy will. Grant unto us a spirit of meekness, humility, and patience. Help us by thy grace to bear in love with each other's faults and infirmities, to serve one another in charity and kindness, and to bless those who may seek to harm us. Look in mercy upon thy church, O God, and grant that it may keep the unity of faith and doctrine which thou dost give, and for which our Lord prayed. To this end, grant that thy church in every place may yield to thy word in repentance for sin, in the hope of the gospel, and in the knowledge of every doctrine. May thy church faithfully show forth this one true faith throughout all the world, that men in every place may come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bless our nation, that throughout the length and breadth of the land its people may worship and serve thee in spirit and in truth, and grant it thy counsel and aid, that it may be preserved in peace. Guard and protect our families, and enable all parents to give wise reproof, spiritual admonition, and a wholesome example to their children, that in obedience to words fitly spoken they may be edified and strengthened for usefulness and service to thee and to their fellow men. Work thy healing power upon the sick and all the afflicted. Hear their cry, and remember them in thy mercy, upholding them by the comforting power of thy Spirit. Show thyself to them a very present help and Savior, and increase their trust in thee through the love of thy Son, Jesus Christ, in whose glorious name we offer these and all other worthy petitions which thou seest in our heart. Amen. We sing hymn number 288.
Lord, help us ever to
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body
of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, that who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen. We sing hymn 391. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.